This is the Lord's word. If I do this, this is the Lord's word. He is who he says he is. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He is the rightful Lord and perfect in all his ways. Today, Lord willing, I will hear his word. It will transform my mind. It will soften my heart. It will be on my tongue. From this moment on, I am his and he is mine. Okay. Now, before I get to my big question, I just want you to know that because I'm five, every so often, I will continue to sit with the kids. And actually, at Apple and Luke's age was right about the time when a mentor came into my life and really taught me how to think quite differently. And so I have some affinity with that age group. And by the way, you're all five, plus some others, right? Isn't that correct? No matter how many others, you're five, plus them. Anyway, here's the question. When I say, hey, you guys, if I say, hey, you guys, is that only the men in the audience that I'm talking to? Okay. Even if we're in Goonies, the movie Goonies, when the guy comes out and he says, hey, you guys, he's talking about all of them. Now, the Bible has some spots in that, and we're going to deal with this. I've got four things in the text today. Three of them I'm going to talk about. It's just the way it is. We're going to do it like a hymn. We're going to have verse 1, 2, and 4, and we're just going to skip 3 altogether. But that's the way hymns are done. So we're going to talk about guys and gals very briefly, rivers and temples, also very briefly because it's in the text, his breath in our lungs next week. Okay, I'm just letting you know, his breath in our lungs next week. And then 4, the image and the temple. So let's go and read from Genesis. We're going to start in verse 1. Or chapter 1, verse 26, and then we're going to skip to chapter 2. This is on page 4 of your Bible, and I will not ever get used to I just wish it had started on number 1, but you know, they have things like that. So we're just going to read verse 26, 27, and 28 from chapter 1, and then we're going to go into a more fuller description of how that happened. Okay? Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth and the scurrying small animals that scurry along the ground, right? Remember scurrying from last week. So God created human beings in his own image, and the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it and reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. Now, at verse 5 in chapter 2, we pick up a more detailed description of that process. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not sent rain to water the earth, and there was no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs, or mist from the ancient Greek, or from the Hebrew, came from the ground and watered the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Now, I need to do this. I don't really want to do very much about this, but in Hebrew, there are multiple words for male and female, or him and her. Okay? And I want to say this. If I say this really clearly, you're going to understand that the word for a general human is Adam. That's the word. Now, if there are only females involved in the thing, then in the Hebrew tradition, that would be Adama. So if you are Battlestar Galactica fans, you would know that the human Adama is a word for human. But now if I'm talking about a specific male or female like you, you would be Isha, not Adama. Isha is a personal or Ish. Okay? Do you understand that? There's language for this. And so some of the translations, I really dislike this, and I need to just say this just very clearly. The word being used here is Adam, which you could almost say is the guy or hey, you guys, at this point. And I'm going to make just a little theological point about this, and we'll go on, because later in the text, it switches from Adam and Adama to Ish and Isha. And it does it at a very specific spot. But until then, the argument in Bible translators is, should we use him, them, or the earthling? That's the argument. And so if I read this, there were no people on the earth, and then the Lord decided to form the earthling from the dust of the ground. Then the Lord God, and he breathed into the earthling's nostrils. That reads just exactly the same as the other one in the original language. Now, I say this because it said in the earlier text, male and female, he created them. At this point, the Bible has not been specific which one it is. I just want you to hear that. I know that that's challenging every thought you've ever thought about this thing. In a moment, he's going to fix that in the Word, okay? Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the earthling, the human, and he had made, and the Lord God made all sorts of trees, and growing up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By the way, now I'm going to sort of break away from this text for just a second to let you know something that everybody in the ancient world knew. That when you were building a temple, and this was all religions, the consecration process was normally something like a 7-day process. And during that process, the image of the god would be being formed and blessed in a sacred grove of trees. Now, we don't think that way because we don't really build temples anymore, and it's kind of passed away from our understanding. But everybody reading this would have understood that on the 6th day, the last day of the consecration of the temple, the image of the god is placed in the temple and it rests. So when we say the 6 days of creation and the god rest, there's a change in the story from what most religions said, and by most I mean all but one. All of them then said the image of the god is there and humans are there to serve that image. And if that means you lose your life in the service, bummer for you, but as long as the image is happy, you're all good. And in Babylon, the worship of the image was such that if you had your daily images, it would do this thing that's, you know, that needed to go for a walk, and so they would take their images out for walks. Now, we think of that as kind of strange and odd in our world, yes? And anything you do for the image or anything you do for the god, you would do for the image. But the story that God's telling is quite different, and it's telling a different truth than that. It's saying that the humans are the image of God. And they're placed in the temple. And that's quite a different story. Now, why is that a different story? There's no slaves to the image in there. Instead of being slaves to the image, the humans are the image. You've been promoted. Now, I want to say this very carefully. some of the stuff we talk about in here is truth, but not mathematical truth. Like there's more than one way to speak about truth. And some of you might not know this, but maybe some of you do. I personally am an abacus. I'm math. And Roxanne and I have had this discussion. We had it just the other day. You know, Roxanne was a math teacher. And I said something about Roxanne being more a math person than I was. And she goes, I'm not so sure. Is that correct? Because I love the thought of the math thing. But I also know that poetry tells truth in a different way. And the word of God is telling this truth. But what it's trying to say is that the image of the God formed correctly in the right place is supposed to be the ruler of the creation. And all the other ones would know that too. But they would just think that little image would be. And then if you go to Psalm 115, I think it's 115. Yes, 115. Psalm 115. This is what it is. There's talking about the images of God and all these things. And so Psalm 115, the Cliff Notes version of Psalm 115 is that we become like what we worship. Now, here's the problem. If we worship a loving God, now this isn't the problem, this is the thing. If we worship Christ, the visible image of the invisible God, we become like him. And that's a good thing. You begin to have ears to hear and eyes to see and all those things. But if you form a God out of wood, hay, stone, or something like that, even though it has eye-shaped things, it doesn't have eyes that see. And if we worship, then we start to be blinded and deafened by the thing we worship. So that explains to me a lot of the miracles in the Gospels. When Jesus is going around restoring sight and hearing to people, he's restoring the image of God. He's on a rescue project for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, I know I've set a couple of your long-standing understandings of Genesis sort of on its ear this morning. It's okay. This is what God's starting to say, is that you are doing this. Now, I've also told you that I believe, and I follow another teacher that says this, that the Bible, in a way, is like a five-act play that's unfinished. And the first act is Genesis 1 and 2. The second act is Genesis 3, the fall. The third act is Israel, the people of God without the Spirit. The fourth act is Jesus. And the fifth act that's unfinished is the people of God with the Spirit. Now, we know what the end is. We just don't know all the stuff in the middle. We're kind of in that spot. But here we are, the garden. Now, in that stuff is the temples are pictures of the universe as they understood them. So when I read this next thing, I want you to start to hear something that's unusual to us. Okay, here it is. Verse 10. A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden and then dividing into four branches. The first was called the Pishon, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where gold is found. The gold of that land was exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and onyx stone was also found there. The second branch, called the Gihon, flowed to the land of Cush. Now, is this your understanding of how rivers work? Do rivers start big and then split into little tributaries? They do, like, no, wait. They start as tributaries and they come together like this. But in temple theology, a temple is the belly button of the world, where the umbilical cord from heaven, where God dwells, is attached. And so all life flows, right? Just think about this for a second. If for those ladies and for the men who stood nearby, when you're pregnant, the umbilical cord is the source of life for that baby, and everything spreads out from there. That's the image of a temple in the ancient world. Now, the big difference here is that this temple is being built with humans as the image rather than an image that the humans serve. Still doing the same thing. It's just telling a slightly different story. It's not telling a story of slavery, even though Christians along the line, somewhere along the line, have struggled with who has the image of God in them and how much it's being, right? I was just doing a funeral just recently for a little brother of a person that had been my best man. And he had had Down syndrome. And I know that if I just say this, that our world sometimes has said those with disabilities like that have less of the image of God in them. I don't find that to be true. And matter of fact, in the middle of that service, I was struck with having done both the brothers' funerals. And I couldn't finish the Lord's Prayer at the moment because the value of life that had been touched by me in that spot. That God would go, he couldn't do everything you could do, but he had the image of God. Now, did he image that well? He's actually the Down syndrome boy that proves that all the others are nice. He was kind of a pill and hard to deal with, but he still had the image of God. This is why we're in this language about who the human is at this point in time and where they are in the temple. Now, I'm coming back to this, and I want you to know that I've got somebody on the side saying, when the time's over, he's going to get my attention and say, you're done today, because we have something following the service today, and we need to make that, we need to hit a time frame. But I'm coming back to this. The Lord had these rivers flowing out, and they became the big, huge rivers of the land. They became the Pishon, the Gihon, the third one, the Tigris, flowed east to the land of Asher, and the fourth called the Euphrates. These are massive, world-shaping, country-shaping rivers that flowed from the umbilical cord of heaven, if you will. The Lord God placed the human in the garden to tend and watch over it, but the Lord God warned the human, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here's the sacred grove of trees from the forming tradition. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. That is the best translation in English of the Hebrew I've ever seen. The only way I can ever explain that is it doesn't say you're going to die. What it says is dying, you will die, which is slightly different, right? It doesn't mean there's going to be a lightning bolt and your life's going to end. It means that as soon as you're doing this, you are in the process, and that process is a coming. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the human to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for the human. Okay. I'm going to set one more thing on its ear. Helpmate. Is that my time? Yeah? It is. Okay. Helpmate, and then I'm going to end. Okay. Helpmate. The Christian world has used helpmate to separate men from women and say, in complementary fashion, this one is more important than that one. Yes? Is that true if we just do that? Has that been done? Okay. Do you know who else the Bible uses helpmate language for? The Lord God. That is the only other place that word is used. I just want to say for a second that God is not subservient anywhere except for where he chooses, and he does it by choice. Yes? So helper there is not a subservience term. Now, at this point, the language changes from to Ish and Isha, right at this point. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky, and he brought them to the human to be named. Sorry, I got that. And he gave them names. And this is the things. The Lord God caused the human to fall asleep into a deep sleep, and while slept, the Lord took out one of the ribs and closed up the opening, and the Lord made the woman, Ish. This is the first place Ish and Isha is used in the text. Now, that does mean there's male and female in there, but which one's the helper? The Bible's not exactly clear as to that. Now, our traditions say one thing or the other. I want you to know that I don't get to look at another human anywhere and go, they're less than me in the image of God. And there's no basis in the Bible to do it. Okay, there might be judgment against peoples and actions and all those things, but right here, this one is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she will be called woman because she was taken from the man. This explains why a man leaves his woman and her father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. By the way, the Bible hates the rending of the one flesh relationship because you don't know where the other one of you begins and the other one ends when you're one. And there isn't any way to do that without violence to both sides. I need to be done. You were created male and female in the image, not slaves to the image. You are the image. Now, we're going to go on in Genesis as it goes further and discuss what it means when humans fall and don't represent that image well. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what Genesis 3 is about. But right at this moment, you've got a temple and a universe and humans in the image of God, without any one being more important than the other. Lord Jesus, be with us today. Strengthen us. Help us understand that you, like Ezekiel 47, have provided nourishment from the river that just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper, because when we are connected to you, the life keeps flowing. In your precious name, Lord, amen.